what do snowmen use to make snow babies?
Snowballs. Really? Really?
Yes.
Did you Google not family friendly Christmas jokes? All right, approved. Welcome to Subscurity, the podcast about obscure subcultures. I'm Brenna.
And I'm Jordan. And today we're talking about Jewish mall Santas. When did you stop believing in Santa Claus?
Oh, I think I was like
31,
9 or 10, maybe. I remember distinctly finding my letter to Santa out on the table in February and asking my mom, why is my card here when Santa got me what I wanted? But no, I remember finding out because she left my Dear Santa card on the table.
She didn't like concoct a story of like it getting returned or something.
Oh my God, no. She was like, why were you going through my purse? I was like, Mom, it wasn't. It was on the table.
Wait, so she just kept it in her purse for like months after.
And then moved it to the table, which she accused me of doing. So yeah. Yeah, okay. Wouldn't you throw that shit away? Or what are you going to do when your kid starts writing to Santa? Are you going to store those letters somewhere or do you think you'll throw them away?
Oh, I'm sure my wife will store them. Yeah, I'm not as sentimental about that stuff, but like, yeah, I'm sure she will keep those. We have all sorts of knickknacks and stuff from even when it was a newborn. Well, I guess that's pretty normal, but for me, it's like, cool, that was his first sock. I don't know, but yeah, for those Christmas cards, I'm sure we'll be keeping them. Christmas cards, is that what they go? No,
letters to Santa. Santa.
Yeah.
Why do you ask?
Why do I ask? Well, did you ever get to sit on Santa's lap? Like, was that a thing for you and your family?
It wasn't like an annual tradition, but I think we went, you know, a handful of times.
Isn't it weird? Just like,
well, it's weird when you say, did you ever get to sit on Santa's lap?
But that's kind of what it, like, here, I'm going to put my child on some
strange man's lap. Are we talking about mall Santas?
Kind of, but not exactly.
Okay.
We're talking about Jewish mall Santas.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I figured mall Santas isn't really obscure, but there are a subset of people of the Jewish faith who also participate in the Christmas season as Santa Claus.
Okay, can I just pause to say I'm annoyed because our friend texted us this idea and I scolded him and said, you're only allowed to text one of us.
Did he really?
Are you an idiot? Yes.
I don't remember.
It was
these
like
things.
A week ago. And I said,
did you say mall Santas or Jewish mall Santas?
Mall Santas. Well, which you said that's not obscure enough. So then I'm sure you just Google what's an obscure, like, are there Jewish mall Santas?
I legitimately, fucking asshole. I legitimately did not remember he sent us that. That 100%.
You just thought you organically came up with that idea.
Petunia. Which we should probably explain that one.
Jordan, so Petunia, we should actually start using that in the podcast. Yeah. Petunia is our safe word, but in a very specific context. So Jordan and I have this thing where we joke around a lot to the point where there are times we genuinely don't know if the other person is joking or being serious. And we established at one point after there was a mix-up with one of us thinking the other person was not serious, that we needed a safe word to establish when we were being serious. And that safe word is Petunia.
Yeah. And I don't know why we chose Petunia.
I think I chose it.
Yeah. Why? I don't know why you chose Petunia.
Because it's also my safe word in sex.
Well, we need a new word.
I'm just kidding. I don't have a safe word.
Yeah. My safe word is keep going. That's a John Cena joke. But to expound on that too, like there has been multiple times where one of us has told the other that we were going to pick them up from the airport. And it becomes a very confusing dialogue of, is this actually happening or not? Over and over and over again. The point where most recently, I think you believed me that I was going to, and you did not check to see if I'd use the same word.
Well, I feel like that needs more clarification, because actually we have a long running history of you saying you will pick me up from the airport. And I want to say for years, you never did. It was always just the joke. Like, you never once picked me up from the airport, nor did I expect you. But that was the joke. And I always knew it was the joke. And recently, two trips ago, I think I told you when I would be landing, and you said you're going to come pick me up. And I knew it was true. I forget, maybe I was dog sitting, or there was something where I was like, I knew you would feel obligated to actually come pick me up.
I think we were going to be leaving. And yes, we were going to be going on a trip and we wanted you to dog sit for us.
That's
and
right.
So I was like, I had that debt to like prepay basically.
Yeah. So I remember that, and I forget what it was, but I think you had asked like what my door number was or something. And when I got in the car, you were like, how did you know I was serious? Like, you were bummed that I wasn't actually waiting in an Uber, that I wasn't confused. But then the second time, most recently, I texted you to come pick me up. And I genuinely thought you were because my rationale was, I think you said you couldn't make it.
I was not lying. I was very explicitly telling you the truth. I could not make it to the airport that time.
My rationale was that every time you said you could make it, you didn't come. So I was like, obviously he's going to be able to get me, because I didn't think you had other plans and you had
previously committed.
So anyway, we have a safe word, Petunia, but it is for the context of clarifying if we are being serious. So if you hear Jordan and I say Petunia, it means I'm being serious. I'm not lying to you.
It's weird to say this out loud, because it feels like a violation of some sort of like intimate level of conversation.
I don't think you need to feel that way.
Well, okay. But the point being, I legitimately did not remember he had sent us that. I remember now the context. I don't remember what other items were on that list, but
it was just that one.
Well, I don't even remember that. The point being, yes, Mall Santas is not obscure, but Jewish Mall Santas, I would argue, is not a large population of people. But there are a few of them, and I would like to talk about them today.
Okay. So when you say they're Jewish Mall Santas, I do just want to clarify, they are people of the Jewish faith who dress up as the Christian Mall Santa. They're not people who dress up as a Jewish Santa hybrid.
Correct.
Okay.
The what you are describing in that latter situation, in Friends would be the holiday armadillo, and in Saturday Night Live history would be Hanukkah Harry, I believe.
I don't know that reference, but sure.
John Lovett's character from like early 90s SNL, before you watched it.
Yeah, because I wasn't alive then. Or I
you
was a fucking
alive in the
I
early
was a
90s.
Toddler. No, sorry. I wasn't watching SNL when I was 3, Jordan. All right, let's get us back on track.
Okay.
Jewish Mall Santas.
These are people of the Jewish faith or Jewish ethnicity,
mm-hmm,
who dress up as Santa Claus and do everything that mall Santas do in terms of listening to children what they want for Christmas and promising them a happy holiday season.
Is that a violation of like good faith? Do we think this is, you know, people go to the mall really expecting their Santa to be authentic?
And is an authentic Santa like a devout Christian?
Obviously.
Is that an actual... No, legitimately, is that an argument?
I mean, I'm literally just making a joke, because isn't Christmas a pagan holiday to begin with, kind of thing?
Well, the winter solstice is a pagan holiday, right? And then the birth of Jesus, I don't remember when it takes place in like the Gregorian calendar year, right? But like it does not take place during the winter time, I believe, biblically. But the Romans, when Constantine converted the Romans to the Catholic faith, he found a way of merging certain holidays so that the population who was used to celebrating certain things could continue to celebrate their holidays around the same time, even though they were now had this new religious meaning, right? So the winter solstice became Christmas and the spring solstice became Easter. We talked a little bit about this in the past, but that's my rough understanding of history, that if it's false, any historians, shut up, don't tell us. Pretend like what I said was true, because that's how I'm going for the rest of this conversation.
I regret making that joke / asking for clarification, because oh my god, was that boring. As someone who already went through 12 years of Catholic school, I didn't you know, I tuned enough of that out. I didn't need to do it again just now.
We have had a lot of conversations about Catholicism on this, and almost always do you not seem to know much about the faith.
In which I was raised.
Yeah.
Well,
12 commandments.
Tell me about your faith, Jordan.
But it's a good question what you're asking. We can just like start there, which is whether there is this expectation of Christianity. One Jewish man who was a mall Santa, he worked several days a week at a mall called Skyview Center in Queens. He spends the earnings that he actually makes for Santa on toys for hospitalized children.
Oh, that's sweet.
So he's been told by his Jewish acquaintances that what he's doing is a sin, in that they're telling him, you can't be Santa, you're Jewish. And he says, Jesus Christ was Jewish, go argue with him. From his perspective, basically, it is, he's doing a Christmas mitzvah, in that he's helping spread good cheers and acts of loving and kindness to his neighbors and fellow citizens, even though obviously he's not doing it with a Christian intent.
Well, I know I kind of joked, isn't Christmas a pagan holiday, but wouldn't a strict Catholic say that Santa isn't real? Like, I think of, actually, one story I think of, my grandmother would tell me this all the time. My dad, he grew up Catholic, but like, you know, not too serious Catholic. And one of his best friends was like devout Catholic, to the point that, personal story, he would not come to my parents' wedding because I was born out of wedlock. Like, I was the flower girl at my parents' wedding.
Bastard.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, my dad asked him to be the best man. He said no. But anyway, the story she would tell me is that when they were kids, like, my dad was probably something like 6 years old. She remembers them distinctly being at the dinner table, all excited. And my dad goes, I'm going to make up the name here, Billy, what are you asking Santa for Christmas? I'm going to ask for this, this, and this. And super deadpan, 6-year-old Billy goes, there's no such thing as a Santa Claus. So
how do I talk in Maine?
That is how this guy talks, very, okay. Very slow. I'm pretty confident he doesn't listen to this. But anyway, he's an interesting character. But at any rate, I think truly devout Christians don't actually acknowledge Santa as a part of the Christmas celebration. Isn't that right?
Christians, Catholics, I don't know. It gets confusing who you're targeting there. I mean, the Catholic Church, which I can speak to a little bit, would say there is the figure of Saint Nicholas, right?
Right.
Jolly old Saint Nick, who is, I don't really know when the two got merged. Like, I don't know I don't have the history of Santa Claus in front of me. So, but in the Catholic faith, they're kind of one and the same person, right? Saint Nick is Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Now, Santa Claus, as we talk about him as a commercial entity, is kind of a fairy tale, right? Like, it's this magical realism aspect, which is, I think, separate and distinct from the Catholic sainthood of Nicholas, right? And
right.
I don't know what the distinct, like, where that line would fall.
It probably varies for everyone. Like, I'm probably just getting too caught up in like one unique perspective. Yeah. And it's, everyone's on a spectrum, right? Like, you can take your religion really seriously but still be really open to Santa, or vice versa.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think you're wrong that there is certain, like, the like when I was talking about Friedman, he was getting accused of betraying his Jewish faith by his Jewish friends and family, right? On the other hand, there are people who come from the other side, what you're talking about, from the Christian side, and say that people,
sacrilege.
Who, yeah, exactly. And so there's a man named E. Maurice Golday, who is, at the time of this the article I found, I don't remember when the article was published, but he was 73 years old at the time the article was published, from New Orleans. And he calls himself Jewy Claus, which is amazing. And he said, as a commercial Santa, you don't bring up anything about your religion. When I am challenged, I always say, Christmas, Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas, they all represent the spirit of giving. And then the article goes on to say, even so, Golda has used his Jewish background, and he now identifies as a Messianic Jew, to help other Santas prime themselves for interacting with Jewish and intermarried parents who bring their children to the mall. At a workshop at a workshop last January hosted by Fraternal Order of Real Bearded Santas, a national association for Santas. Golday presented on the basics of Hanukkah, advising participants to memorize a favorite latke recipe to share with their mom or dad. So again, like, it's this idea of saying, even if I'm being called sacrilegious by other people, you know, I find value to this whole spirit around, like, spirit in a non-denominational way, right, of what Christmas represents, and at least to children. And I'm trying to bring that forward, even if I don't have share the same faith background that probably the majority of either Americans or just the people that are visiting would have.
Yeah. And it's kind of reminded me of just the whole happy holidays versus Merry Christmas debate that still lingers for whatever reason. It's just, you know, who cares if someone says Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Ramadan, like whatever, I would just return it because they're wishing you a celebration of their faith. And if someone says Happy Holidays, I would also say Happy Holidays because it is that general season where, sure, Christmas is the predominant mainstream holiday that gets recognized, but there are a lot of other religious celebrations in this time. And what's wrong with saying Happy Holidays? Isn't the whole point just to say, you know, I wish you good luck and cheer in the new year or something or other?
Yeah, but you're killing Jesus, so
that's true. Well, it's another criticism of people who take issue with a Jewish Santa Claus is like, so you're okay with the person lying to your child about being Santa Claus because they're not, they're just an old guy, that's it, or maybe a young guy with a beard, with a like a wig beard,
or a wonderful woman like Phyllis Vance on The Office.
On The Office, yes, yeah. Exactly. So you're okay with a stranger lying to your children and perpetuating this facade of Santa Claus, but you're not okay if the person perpetuating that facade is Jewish. Got it.
Yeah, well, and right, I think for those people, like, let's not pretend that a decent segment of the backlash is not anti-Semitism, right? Like, there's probably some of that. Hopefully that's not the majority of people, and the vast majority I'm sure don't even recognize that the people that they're speaking to are of a different faith background, right? If they even have a faith background. For example, my wife and I, we took our son to sit on Santa's lap when he was a infant, and we didn't get to do it last year because of COVID, but we'll do it again this year. And I would not describe either of us as significantly religious in any way. We've talked enough about religion on this podcast and our personal beliefs, but like, we're not doing it as a religious thing. We're doing it because it's a fun tradition and it's cute to see your kid see something in real life that they only recognize in stories and books and TVs and whatever else. Right. So like, having that moment of realism brought to them is fun. And it brings delight. And so you don't have to have that kind of religious aspect. And I'm sure most people in our area, certainly, I think, don't have that when they go in to talk to these mall Santas.
And to be completely fair, like, I'm again generalizing, and I'm sure most people wouldn't have a problem with a Jewish mall Santa,
yeah,
but of the people who do, I'm just like, really?
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny, like I'm saying, like, you probably wouldn't know. Right. But there are a couple, stories in what I found of people of Jewish Santas who basically use a little bit of their background in the character so that they present themselves a little differently. So a man named Richard Apdekar, he's a 71-year-old actor, and he plays Santa at parties in San Francisco. And he says that rather than basically just playing the normal ho 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 Santa, he adds a little bit of kind of wry Jewish humor to it, and basically tries not to be the Gentile Santa and add a little bit more of the,
instead of saying ho ho ho, does he say mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov?
Yeah, right. He doesn't actually say it, right? But he does try to say that, like, he adds a little bit of I don't know what the right way to say it, like, Jewish culture to the character. On the other hand, he also says, you know, for him at least, there's a line, right? Like, he's happy to play the character. He's happy to wish people a Merry Christmas. But for him personally, like, he won't have a Christmas tree because for him, that's a Christian symbol. And he doesn't want that. He's not Christian. He's Jewish. But he's happy to, like, play the character for others to have their kind of spirit in that moment, rather, you know, even if it's not something that he will celebrate privately for himself.
So, I mean, I'm sensing a theme here. And was this a common thread you noticed? It sounds like a lot of the drive, or at least from the two examples you've shared so far, is even though it doesn't reflect their own tradition and religion, they want to see joy brought to other people through. It sounds like he gets joy from acting, and the other one got joy from, you know, giving gifts to children who celebrate Christmas during the holidays. Is it really just kind of derived from, I want to spread joy, and it doesn't matter that it's not how I celebrate?
Yeah, and that's actually that. The answer is yes, and I'm gonna have a couple more examples, but it goes back beyond that. So if you look at the actual like history of mall Santas, mm-hmm. that's essentially like where it started. It's a commercial enterprise now, obviously, right? Everything is, but it did come from this idea of exactly what we're talking about, which is delighting children with this sense of realism. So if you look in history, there was a man named James Edgar.
Allan Poe?
Nope. he was more commonly known as Colonel Jim. He was from Brockton, Massachusetts.
Nice.
And in December of 1890, he became the first department store Santa Claus. So he owned a dry goods store, but one year he decided to take a train to Boston and got a costume tailored specifically for him as Santa. And a few weeks after that, which was a few weeks before Christmas, he made his first appearance as Santa. And basically what he would do is he would walk around the Boston store. He would walk around the Boston store on Main Street. And people would walk down the aisles, and all of a sudden in front of them would be Santa Claus. And there's multiple stories in newspapers from the time of children saying they saw Santa Claus in the department store. And like, there was a quote, for example, that says, "I remember walking down an aisle, and all of a sudden, right in front of me, I saw Santa Claus. I couldn't believe my eyes. And then Santa came up and started talking to me. It was a dream come true."
Aww.
So that spurred a lot of interest, especially, I think, as news articles kind of wrote about it. And children started flooding into the area from the surrounding towns, provinces, and cities. So Boston, Providence, Worcester, New York.
Nice job pronouncing Worcester.
I have a Massachusetts friend or two. Worcester sauce. So by 1891, so by the next year, it proliferated. Suddenly Santa was at multiple department stores. And by the turn of the century, you know, within a decade, that just was an institution. Every department store had a Santa. And 121 years later, we've carried on that tradition. But the point is, for him, it was not originally an advertisement play. It was just something to delight children around him. And that carried on even a couple decades later. Brockton itself was once known as like a really prominent shoemaking town. And then it had fallen in hard times by the 1920s, before even the Great Depression. And the city's truant officer discovered that hundreds of children weren't going to be able to go to school because their families couldn't afford to buy them shoes or repair the old ones. So a truant officer kind of was explaining the situation to the president of Edgar's department store that, you know, still existed decades later. And the president asked what he could do to help. And the truant officer said, just do what the late James Edgar would have done, right? Go back to the guy who dressed up as Santa Claus and put yourself in his position. And so what the president did was he closed the top floor of his store. He purchased a $3,000 shoe repairing machine, hired half a dozen cobblers, and by Christmas had repaired 1,000 pairs of shoes for free. And by spring, 5,000 more pairs. So basically repaired every child's shoes in that town for free out of the spirit and following the spirit and the goodness of the guy who created mall Santas, basically.
That's really sweet. I mean, it is like those acts of kindness that seem to spike around the holidays because you're kind of reminded of the why and, you know, that there is good. But that's really sweet.
Yeah. And so to answer your question, like there's this kind of a desire to express that. Those good tidings, or however you want to say it, to other people. And so that was the basis of it. And if you look now to today with these specifically the Jewish mall Santas, yes, it carries on kind of the same meaning for them. So the main article I found about this starts with a story about that person I was mentioning at the beginning, Friedman, who is a 53-year-old Jewish civil attorney from Queens. And he had been playing Santa. He's been playing Santa, I guess, by now, probably closer to 20 years. But at the time, it had been about a decade, I think, when the article came out. And it all began after 9/11. He was in New York, and basically what he was watching was all these first responders who were responding to the attack on the World Trade Centers. And he wanted to find a way to give back. And so he was trying to find something that wasn't just donating money. And his secretary actually suggested he put on a Santa suit and make Christmas time visits to the families of the firefighters and police officers that were part of the response. And so that's what he did. He initially did this as an act of tzedakah, I think is how you pronounce it. I don't speak Yiddish, but it's a word that means an act of charitable giving. Okay. And it's very prominent around like the Hanukkah season, especially. So from that was his perspective. I'm giving to these people who have given so much to me in this community. And then it became for him from that point on kind of a seasonal side job. So again, like I think it's a consistent story that you see that people who are doing this, they're doing it not out of any faith obligation, but out of like this actual desire to spread cheer to others.
Can I interject with a slightly off topic frustration? It's not off topic, but it's not on topic.
I mean, that's all we do here.
I'm a little frustrated that you didn't save this topic for like 2 weeks from now when it's going to be like at least the month of December. And I think this is going to air what? November 24th.
Yeah, it's going to air right before Black Friday. So I figured that technically counts. Because it's either you wait after. I mean, I couldn't come up with Thanksgiving subculture.
Couldn't you have done Jewish mall turkey pilgrim people?
If you're a Jewish mall turkey pilgrim person.
Contact us.
Yeah, contact us and also say that five times fast. I was trying to come up with something that would be like very Thanksgiving related because I think, yeah, this is going to be the week of Thanksgiving this one comes out. But
well, it didn't have to be topical, but you could have at least waited till this was more in season. I'm just saying.
I did what I did and you're going to have to deal with it.
Disapprove.
For anyone who's listening, shut up, Brenna.
Well, it's like that debate. I mean, it reminds me of people who take it very seriously. Like, you can't put up Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving. So you're breaking your own rule. I'm not breaking my rule.
Oh, you mean this topic? Yeah,
yeah,
that's fair.
You are.
Well, the rule's already broken because my wife is not on the same page with me there. So she has already started the Christmas decorating. And it looks great. Like, I get it. But for me, like, that's the thing. I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
But it is so much the middle child of holidays, right? Like Halloween is first. It's like, especially either as a kid or an adult, it's a lot of fun in very different ways, but it's a lot of fun. People get excited for it. You got a whole month of spooky stuff. And then it's, can we get to Christmas? And people just kind of, because there's not like money there's like not decorating for Thanksgiving, right? Yeah. Like there's day of, I guess. Yeah. But like it's just like a meal day, which is why I like it. Like it's got everything I like. It's got people I want to be around sometimes.
Yeah.
Really great food and football. Like that's all I look for in life.
Yeah.
But yeah, it gets ignored because people just want to jump to the next big decorating and month-long holiday of Christmas, right?
Yeah. I know we can get back to the topic, but I'll just say one thing. I know someone who last year, everyone in their neighborhood started putting up like their Christmas lights right after Halloween.
Yeah.
And she's someone who very much agrees with you that Thanksgiving deserves its due recognition. So she got a giant ass blow up turkey bigger than a house that she put in the yard.
Good for her.
And I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I would love to spend more time celebrating, but I think I'm fighting a losing battle on that one, at least in my immediate family. But anyway,
back to Jewish mall Santas.
Back to Jewish mall Santas. So there's there's not a lot of them. Obviously, it's an obscure group. That's why we're talking about it. But
it's the name of our podcast.
But there's probably more than you would expect. So actually, I have no idea. How many would you expect? Let's say out of a 1,000 Santas, how many would you expect there to be?
Do you have that stat available? If I give you an answer, are you gonna?
I can sort of answer that. Yeah.
Okay. Out of 1,000, are we talking about U.S. Santas?
Yeah, I'm focused on domestic Jewish mall Santas.
4.
You're pretty close. So actually, you might be almost exactly right. So
boom, boom, boom.
Pretty impressive. This should, by the way, if you are a top level software company and coming up with some stupid interview question to ask your people, this should be one of them. How many windows are in the city, and how many Jewish mall Santas are there per 1,000 mall Santas?
Are you saying I would do really good at a Google interview?
Oh, I think you definitely should apply and use this as like the sole thing on your resume.
Let me put that question away. I'm just gonna play back my podcast here. I'm not even gonna talk.
This
now
is my portfolio.
Just listen to this.
Yeah, so a man named Tim
Conahan.
That sounds like a better way to pronounce it. Tim Conahan. he runs a training course for aspiring commercial Santas. And he says over the course of his entire career, and I don't know how long that is, but over the course of his career, he's had 20 Jews that he has coached and outfitted as Santas. And so he was kind of asked to find more of them. And so, this sounds weird, like you're keeping a list of these people.
Find more Jewish Santas.
Yeah. He was asked as part of the article, just like to find if there were any other people who were doing this. And so he put a call out to his listserv, and that has 2,200 real bearded Santas on it, as they call themselves. Of those 2,200 people, half a dozen responded. So 6 people out of 2,200. So close to your...
Pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close, right? And they basically interviewed all of them. And again, consistent answer that most of them took the role after like a friend or family member suggested they do that initially for like a one-off event type thing. Mm. But it became something that they really fell in love with because of kind of the
magnanimity
because of the amazing persona they got to represent.
Yeah, you know, like I will say, you know, I have no issue with it whatsoever, but I do find that kind of weird if you do practice religion to go out and then, you know, perform another religion's tradition.
Yeah, it's almost appropriation.
No, more just, I guess in certain contexts maybe, but more I was thinking that's gotta be strange if you do take your religion seriously.
Yeah.
However, I do get the draw of it makes you feel good, and that's really what you're trying to do is spread holiday cheer.
Yeah, and like, again, I think it comes back to because the idea of Santa Claus is so abstracted from specific Christian faith at this point, you know what I mean? It's like the Easter Bunny, you know, it's like a magical entity. It's mythological. God, I'm having trouble today, but it's mythological rather than religious in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
That I think it's easier for them to portray that. Like, I don't know for sure, but I have a hard time believing there's a lot of Jesus's or other members of the nativity scene that are being played by Jews, right, during a religious holiday, right? Like something like that. But for Santa, who is this magical figure that doesn't have a ton of biblical realism to him, I think that it makes it a little easier, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There is a man named Rick Rosenthal who created this character that he calls Abby Claus, who is a skinny Jewish Santa in a red suit who has a blue Star of David on his back, and for a little zing, Jewish sidelocks.
Oh my God.
And so he would put on this character and then like slip bagels into his friends' Christmas trees and hand out gifts at holiday parties. And so he really liked, so this is kind of like how he grew into it, right? Ultimately, he decided to then become like an actual mall Santa and would put up yard signs and book parties and so forth, and was making $100 to $400 an hour on Christmas week.
Oh, shit. That's that's no joke. That's good money.
Yeah, it's not an hour. Right? Like, that's a pretty good side gig. But in order, again, to get back to the religious part of it, like, in order to do this, he had to talk to his rabbi. And for, like, he personally felt like he had to talk to his rabbi and get permission to do this because is this Christian? Is this not? Right? Is this, am I abandoning my own faith and doing this? His kind of rationale, I guess he and his rabbi, the rationale they came down to was that Santa is a secular character for them, right? Rather than a religious one. And in fact, he actually goes on to say he believes Santa was invented by Coca-Cola, which the research suggests that's the reason. That's not like an uncommon belief. And the reason for that is that in the 1930s, Coca-Cola had a major campaign that featured Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's carried on to today. Right. But like, so there's this kind of like retcon belief that Santa was invented by Coca-Cola. Not true, but it helped him justify, again, this idea of playing Santa. But again, kind of following the same theme, he very specifically says, I am not Saint Nicholas. I have a problem with that. Saint Nicholas is a religious person. He is a saint. And this is where you have to use discretion. Jews shouldn't be dressing up as saints. So that's where he kind of finds that dividing line for himself.
As an ethnic but non-religious Jew, what do you think of these people?
What do you mean these people?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
I think it's fun. You know, like, yeah. I don't know. I enjoy all these kind of like various takes on Christmas. I mean, I was making a joke earlier, but like, I've always loved the Friends episode where Ross is trying to teach his son about holidays that aren't just Christmas, aka Hanukkah, right? And be able to teach like his own traditions with son. But he realizes he doesn't have the equivalent magical persona that is Santa Claus. So he has to invent the holiday armadillo, right? To go on that. Kind of similarly in Seinfeld, they have, I'm just going to go off television references apparently, but in Seinfeld, they have Festivus, right? That George's father creates, which is the idea of a Festivus for the rest of us, right? Yep. For those of us who don't celebrate Christmas, we can have the airing of grievances with each other instead and around the holiday pole. So like that, like, I always like this idea that the holiday season does not have to be an intensely religious one, but instead is in a time for people to get together and enjoy each other's company and enjoy each other's spirit, especially living in the Northwest at the latitude that we're at and the fact that daylight lasts like 4 hours here. Like, it gets pretty depressing and dark, mm-hmm. you know? So having that like communal event, however you want to celebrate it, I think is very valuable. And the fact that for a lot of people who would otherwise feel excluded from a cultural tradition that is historically very Christian, this gives opportunity for people to pull back from that a little bit and instead become more inclusive, right? And I think that's great that people like that, Jews who want to do this and want to dress up as Santa, have the opportunity to kind of participate in that tradition without losing their own faith, without losing their own traditions, but still be able to participate in a way with people who, you know, celebrate in a different way than them. And that's Jewish Mall Santas. If you would like to send us your favorite words in Yiddish or your favorite matzo ball soup recipe, you can contact us. We're on Instagram at Subsecurity Podcast. Our Twitter handle is at Subsecurity Pod. And our website is subsecurity.com. You can also email us at an inbox we definitely check more than once every 3 months, subsecurity@gmail.com. Our intro and outro music is the instrumental of We're Better Together by Go Mordecai. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.